college. Huh? They're producing graduates. We producing hoodlums, outlaws. I'm just telling you like it is. We producing men, boys, and girls that don't know how to pull their pants up. And the girls done pull theirs down. I don't know where the sickness come from. They asked the question, why is this? Guess what they said? Strict conduct. Strict code of conduct. These kids are from the South Side. These kids are from the deprived family. These are not the kids that are from the high and mighty, but they are from the lowly one. But yet they're going to join.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this another wonderful opportunity to study your word. Let the Holy Ghost do in the text and those who are taught as only he can. And God, let him unfold, reveal, disclose truth so that we might hear and see what you have to say to us. Then allow us to practice the principles so that we might profit from them and give you the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Our word today is a simple word, a word that we have recited more times than many of us even know. But I'm wondering if you realize and recognize the wealth and riches of God's word, how deep they really run, and how much they mean as it relates to being a timely word, a relevant word for you or your situation or your circumstance or your outcomes. And so one of the things that I'm always cognizant of is when I ask the Lord to give me a word for his people, he is always relevant, always relevant. And so it's a simple 10-word text. 10 words. But in these 10 words, you're going to find that it's going to encourage, edify, and empower the believer who trusts God for his word. Now, let's turn to the 10-word text. Many of you know it by heart, but I do want you to turn anyway to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 13. Recorded are these words. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the preacher's talking about me. Well, y'all don't act like I'm talking about you today. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This is no new text. This is not new in your hearing, not new in your reading. But I do pray that it will be new in revelation to you. First of all, when you look at what Paul is talking about here, it's important to recognize that he starts off literally through personal experience, sharing with the believers that he himself has postured and positioned himself to always be in the winning position. No matter what his situation may be, his circumstances may be, he has postured himself to be the winner. He said, no matter what state he finds himself in, he's found himself to be content. What is he content with? The word of God that says, and we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose, which means that nothing we go through is accidental. God is in control, and sometimes even when he allows the devil to have what the devil thinks is the upper hand, what he doesn't realize is God has the controlling hand. And the enemy is limited to what he can do, how much he can do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because God has made a promise to the believer that he would not put more on us than we are able to bear. And so that means every time you get in a situation and you get stressed out and you're like, man, I don't know if I go another step further, I'm gonna lose my mind, all the rest of that. No, none of that's real, because if that were true, then it means God would be a liar. And that means if you're going through it, don't stop. Because you're closer to the end of it than you know. But if you stop, you're gonna prolong the process. Now, you might have to slow down every now and then, and maybe every now and then you might have to make, how many of you know in racing that's called a pit stop? And a pit stop is a very short stop. But in the midst of the pit stop, everybody in the pit is working. Even the driver is refocusing himself, regathering himself. He's restretching and getting himself together, because within a matter of seconds, he's back on the racetrack. And that's what we've got to realize. God allows for us some pit stops, but some of us stop because we find ourselves in a pit. And there is a difference. Look at what Paul says. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, when he says I, that's personal. And when he says it, it is connected with his passion. One of the things that I love about this, because this is true not only in Paul's situation, but in our lives as well. Whether our pursuit is both private and or public, if we are passionate about it, then we have the fuel that is necessary for our faith to make that thing a reality. You see, there's nobody who's going to believe more in your dream than you should, invest in your dream more than you should, give more of you than you should. And so if nobody else is excited about what God's doing or about where you're going or where you're headed or what you're dreaming or what your vision is, you ought to be the number one excited fan about what God's doing in your life. He says, I can't speak for you. I don't know where you and the Lord are, but I can speak for me. And here's what you need to know. God is holding you responsible for you and not the person sitting on the side of you. So it has to be passionate. Nothing irks God, I'm sure, because it certainly does me, to have Christians who claim to be victors, winners, on the winning side, supposed to be all God says they are, and they're always whining, crying, head down, always complaining, cynical, disillusioned, can't see the brighter side, can't see the upper side, don't know in the end we win, and yet we're in church every time the doors open and we are acting as if we are defeated foes. Here's what you need to know. You've got a part to play in it. God's not gonna do it all for you. See, that's where faith comes in the person. That's where you've got to believe God for yourself. There are just some things God will not do for you. Remember, God does the impossible, but what does he expect you to do? The possible. So he says, personally, passionately, I. Now, what does he say after that? Can do. Well, what is can do but positive projection? Too many of us are talking our blessings down, talking our healing down, talking our deliverance down, talking the things that God has promised us down, because we don't have positive projection. We have the ability to speak those things that be not as though they were. Now, the first portion of this word is dealing with encouraging you. Encouraging. When you look up the word encourage, right in the very definition of the word encourage is the word courage. Because it is courage that comes from encouragement or to encourage someone. You see, a whole lot of us don't understand, and this is what Paul was doing. Matter of fact, the Bible was written for our learning so that we could get some courage. You see, a whole lot of you know better, but how many times have we known better and still not done better? I know I'm talking to myself here. I'm not talking to you. But sometimes you need to know somebody else has been through what you've been through, and they made it through. You need to know that somebody has the faith in God to trust God, and God is no shorter than his word, and he brought them through. And the word is filled with examples of that. But not only is the word filled with examples, but the world is filled with examples of believers who have trusted God, and they have gotten encouragement. How many times have you gone to encourage somebody going through something and they wind up encouraging you? Encourage means to inspire hope. Not only does it mean to give courage to, but it means to inspire hope. You can inspire hope in folk if you ain't going through nothing and coming out of that as a victor. The world is already betting against you. Satan is already betting against you. You're not going to make it. You're not going to be able to take it. You're not going to be able to handle it or make it through that long haul. You're going to give out and give in and give up. And so that's nothing to inspire anybody about. Do you know one of the reasons why Job is such an inspiring story? Because most of us couldn't go through the first chapter. All you got to do is open it up and read it. Here, you complain about your little toe hurting, like you about to, you know, leave God because of that. You don't really have no faith to believe. This man lost everything he had, 10 children. He had a funeral service for 10. Imagine 10 caskets at one time laid out there. And you can't make it because one person died. What am I going to do? Well, you find out that life goes on. Life is for the living. And you could do your best, and that's why we ought to do our best and love those and share with those while we have an opportunity, because we never know when death will call. It is sure. How many of you saw the movie Imitation of Life? I could have beat that girl if I had something. Man, she won't run behind the casket and cry, "Oh, mama!" Now, she wanted to disown her mama, didn't want to treat her mama right, didn't want to do what she would, but then she died, and then all of a sudden she realized then that was the most truest and most purest and loved her with an unending and failing love had now left her, and those things that she fixed herself and her thoughts and her focus on all let her down. And to her, she was then in the world by herself. Well, see, that's what happens with many of us as relates to God. We won't believe God. We'd rather trust this and that, this person and that person. We'll believe this. Many of us have more faith in the pews we sat in than the God who woke us up this morning. Let me just ask a question. How many of you, before you sat down, got down on your knee, looked up under the pew, make sure it didn't have any cracks, that it was able to support you? How many of you did that before you got in? No, you just came there. And you just knew it was going to hold you. Never even a doubt about it, did you? Did you ever question that bench was going to hold you? No reason to. You didn't see one before you that was cracked and falling apart. And there's no reason to doubt God. Paul doesn't doubt God, doesn't even flinch at the issues and situations that come his way. He says, can do. Positive projection. As a man or a woman or a person thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. What are you projecting? Because here's what you need to know, that the spirit of truth is only going to bear witness to the truth. If you say a thing and don't believe a thing, it's not going to have the power of God to make that thing come alive. That's why God meets you where your faith level is. You can speak all of the blessings. You can say everything God said. But if you don't believe it in your heart and match it with your faith, God is not under warrant to back it up. Why? Because you are speaking idle words. They're not faith-filled words. How many of you know faith works in the positive and the negative. It comes from a Greek word called antimetrophivitai. And antimetrophivitai works in the positive and the negative. In other words, it's just like a seed. Whatever is attached to your faith in the words you speak, that's what's going to grow. The Bible says life and what? Death are in the power of the what? Tongue. And here's what it says. And those who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Amen. So if you speak negative all the time, guess what you're going to get? Because that's really what you believe in your heart. When folk speak negative things out of their mouths, the fate that is attached to negativity is going, if you want to see something bad happen, keep looking for it. Keep speaking it. You are producing your own problems, manufacturing your own miseries. And you listen at this, you are the one to point the finger at. Hallelujah. Now, there are some things that come your way that you had nothing to do with. There are tests and trials, tribulations, and even temptations. But then there are other things that we speak into existence with that same creative power found in Genesis 1, as we are made in God's image and in God's likeness. And then when we say what it is that we can do, it's positive projection, the same way it was with God. Everything God said, let there be, He spoke it first, He positively projected it, and the Holy Ghost grabbed it and made it so. That pattern doesn't change. It's the same reality today. But my question is, what are you projecting positively or negatively? You have the fruit thereof. But it moves on a little further. And it says, all things. Now that's past, present, and potential things. Now, past can teach you a lot about the mistakes, the failures, or the principles. And in either case, when you learn from those, you can actually put those to work for you. You can do them in the present and you'll reap immediate benefits. And then some of them are for potential or future realities. But that you start the day is going to shape your tomorrow. That you sow today is going to cause you a harvest tomorrow or in the future. And so when you learn, all things covers all areas, all arenas, all avenues, there are no limitations, then you learn how to stop limiting God. You see, that's why Paul's word is so encouraging, because here is a man who wrote, as we are given to know, about 14 of the 27 books in the Bible, who had a thorn in the flesh, who had health issues, and did more than anybody else for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, who first started off as a fighter and now as a great man of faith. He is revealing principles to us that he has practiced. And so these are tried and true. And if the believer will align their faith to what the Word of God is saying, there are some things you can change in your own life. We keep saying, well, I'm waiting on the Lord to do this. The Lord says, not so. You see, when God gives us the answer in His Word, and when God gives us the principle in His Word, or principles in His Word, it is then left up to us to practice them. It is like an automatic door. Now, if you go to most major stores, supermarkets, etc., many of them have automatic doors. If you are not within the sphere that causes that electronic eye to see that you're there, that door is not going to open. But the moment you step in that sphere, in that space, and that's called that space, the faith space, then God's word has got to do what God said, or it makes God a liar. See, God has already dimensionally placed everything that relates to our obedience and operation to His word in effect. In other words, God has done His part. To God, this is all past tense. It's a review for God, because He saw it before the beginning ever began. And He put everything in dispensational order. So there are just some things that God has already done on His part. He's waiting for you to do on your part. And the moment you do it and you step into that faith space, it automatically comes open for you. And so a whole lot of things you're going to realize, man, you've been letting the devil rob you of and waste your time and mess over you, because you think, being super holy, I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord. Well, there are some things we may have to wait on the Lord, but those things I can guarantee you, he'll let you know you're waiting on him on. There's a major difference there, because the word, and this is one of the reasons how you know principles, you look in the word of God, you see what someone else has gone through. If this word has been written for our learning, then what is the purpose of learning it if it don't work the same for us as it did for them? Is anybody in the house tonight? If this word doesn't work for me like it worked for Abraham, like it worked for Elijah, like it worked for Jonah, like it worked for everybody else in the word, what's the sense in putting a story about that in this word if it's not going to do for me what it did for them? It makes no sense absolutely at all. Why do I need to learn it if it don't work for now? So when you begin to realize all things, stop limiting God. When he says, I can do all things, did he put a limitation on them? He didn't say, I can do all things except that has to do with this, or that has to do with that, or that. There is no exception there. It is clear, all means all. And so all does include your situation. All does include what you're dealing with right now. All does include what the enemy is trying to do in your life. And you can do, you can accomplish. What is it that you need from God? What is it that you are in the position of having now if you begin to one personally and passionately? That means Pastor Montgomery can't do it for you. You got to do it for yourself. That means mama can't do it for you. Prayer partners can't do it for you. You got to say, I. And passionately mean that. Mean it with everything in you and do those things that suggest you are walking toward the thing you just confessed. What is confession but alignment with what God has said? And so when the man who was begging at the gate for some alms or money, and Peter and John said, look on us, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, in the name of Jesus, he said, I'll give it to you right here. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know what the word says? The next verse, and he reached down and pulled him up. You see, if you can do, then what you're sitting down for? If you can do, why haven't you taken the next step? See, it sounds good in the talk. But the talk has to have the walk to join it before God will bring it to pass. We know all the words to say. See, that's why, you know, studies like this don't really do a lot for a lot of us, because we know this scripture backwards and forward, but it ain't working in our lives. And it's not working in our lives because we're not practicing the principles. Just quoting the word without practicing the principles is not going to bring the promise. That's why you've got to do your part. That's why it's not working for you, because faith requires action. So then faith coming by hearing, I got it, I got it, I got it. Now what am I going to do with it? Got to get up and start moving toward, moving in, operating in what I just got through confessing. And so that's where the encouraging come in at. But the next thing I want you to see is not only is this word an encouraging word, but it's an edifying word, because it says through Christ. And through Christ is the proper passage. Proper passage. Why is this so important? Because Jesus said, when you pray to the Father, mention my name. And he will do it. Jesus is the proper passage for the promises of God to be fulfilled in your life. You see, the Holy Ghost stands idly by until he hears the name Jesus. And it is at Jesus's name is he authorized to move, to help, to assist, and to bring to pass the very things Jesus said he was left behind to do. Everything that Jesus did in the earth ministry, he said, listen, I'm going away and I'm going to send you another comforter. And he's going to bring back everything I've told you. And he's going to be your helper. And he's going to be what is known as a paraclete, or one called alongside to help you in times of trouble. In other words, he's going to help you to do these things, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father. In other words, the same power, the same person that helped me, because when he was baptized, he was anointed with an unlimited amount of the Holy Ghost's power. And so as a result of that, everything he did in the earth realm, listen at this, he did it with the Holy Ghost. Now, if he used the deity's power that he was rightly deserving of, which being the Son of God, being God himself, then that would have been an unfair usage of a power we don't possess. But he forfeited the use of his deity power, of his power as God, the Son of God, but rather he used the power as the Son of Man. And that was the Holy Ghost's power. This is the same power that's available to every one of us. If it weren't available to us, then we would not be able to do what Jesus did, because everything that Jesus did in the earth realm was powered by the Holy Ghost. Just as everything God spoke into existence in the Old Testament was done by the Holy Ghost. And so in this last day and time, if we're going to operate the way God wants us to, that's going to have to be done by the power of the Holy Ghost. And you've got to be able to operate the way God operated. And God got in a hurry by speaking faith-filled words, and everything he said, the Holy Ghost grabbed him and made it happen. Your problem is you're trying to speak it and do it. You got to learn your part. Learn your role. Some of us can't even do our role, which is to have faith and speak it as though God has already done it. As a matter of fact, when you pray, you ought to pray according to the will of God. If you pray according to the will of God, you ought to know your answer is already there before you say amen. Amen means be it so, or so be it. So when you get through saying what you say amen after you said in Jesus' name, then you already count that thing done and you start walking in that light as though it's already happened. But too many of us don't want to be embarrassed, don't want to be made a fool of, don't want to speak and confess what God said, because then folk are going to be looking for that to happen. But if you just think it, there's a major difference between speaking positive projections and positive thinking. See, because positive thoughts can never ever be developed into positive actions and still be qualified as positive thoughts. But positive projections can never be projected unless they're released from your mouth. In other words, positive projection is so important to the believer. It's like you understanding what it is. You get a revelation of what God has said, and man, God's spirit just confirms in you, this word is for you. And you're like, God, this is my word. This is my word. And then it's like you putting, projection is like putting a bullet in a gun. Your faith is what's going to cause that bullet to lodge out of that gun and into this round. And when you, by faith, speak that thing, it's coming out with a force that the Holy Ghost is going to take and cause and create, just like God did in the beginning. And you're going to get excited when you see that happen. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to go, pew, pew, pew. You're going to be speaking faith-filled words every time you turn around, because it works when it's real. It works. When any witnesses in the house know it works. All right. But now again, the proper passage is Jesus, which means relationship. And if you don't have relationship with him, the Father is not going to honor what you say, nor is the Holy Ghost going to honor what you say. Jesus is the one whom the Father and the Holy Ghost honors in the relationship. And they do it because of him. Because of him. One of the things that's so special about this relationship, God so honored Jesus Christ in his great and awesome sacrifice for mankind that just as the Passover in the Old Testament represented the death